Broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio, welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Tremendous Monday to you. All right, feeling strong. Made my New York road trip back in Southern California, where I belong. It's great to be here. Got a ton of show for you. Coming off the weekend that we're coming off of, you can only imagine, I could probably slam 6 hours worth of show into this 3 hour period, so it's not wasting time. In fact, I'm going to open it up in hour number one. Phone lines are good. They're open. They're available. Take advantage of it. The interviews do not start until hour two, so call me right now, 1-800-636-8686. New York Giants have fired head coach Ben McAdoo. GM Jerry Reese also is going with him. I want to hit on that. Obviously, the college football playoff is set. A ton of controversy there. I've got thoughts on that, too, and a wild weekend in the NFL. Even some baseball to hit today. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Also, you know to email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interview is set up like this. Back-to-back to start hour number two. Clay Matthews of the Green Bay Packers at the top of the second hour. Pete Thamel is a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports. We have him in hour number two. And in hour number three, we try and run down jungle favorite William McGinnis once again. ATP Day on a Monday. Also, we have a podcast dropping tomorrow. Jim Rome podcast drops every single Tuesday. One of my favorites, Gary V, is going to join us. Not too late to leave a voicemail for episode 16. That thing made it yet another week. I keep looking for a reason to take it out back, put it down once and for all, but I keep thinking it's getting a little better. It's getting a little better. It might work. So it survives yet another week. The voicemail for episode 16. In fact, write this number down so I don't have to bring it up again. Put this in your phone and use it. If you want to leave a voicemail for our podcast episode, 949-385-0447, 949-385-0447. All right, I mentioned the Giants are cleaning house, which they should. If you're going to do it anyway, you may as well do it right now, and they are. That said, I'll get to that a little bit later on because it is pretty rare that I lead the Monday show with college football. Because normally by Monday, the drama of the college football Saturday has pretty much faded, but not on this Monday. The drama that started Saturday and went to the next level yesterday is not going to fade. Not for quite some time. And no, for once I'm not talking about the Tennessee coach search catastrophe. I'm talking about the college football playoff, of course. The final seeds were announced yesterday. The top three were obvious because they all took care of business. Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia. But that's when things got interesting because then you had two spots or two teams for the fourth spot, Ohio State and Alabama. And you're probably wondering where I come out on that. Ohio State beat number four Wisconsin 27-21 in the Big Ten championship game Saturday night. Alabama didn't do anything at all. They were idle. So the Buckeyes had to be feeling pretty good about themselves. A conference title from one of the two toughest conferences, plus three wins against the final top 20, surely meant that the Buckeyes were going to get in again, right? Wrong. The committee takes Alabama, which means we're about to get Clemson, Alabama 3. Hey, Dabo, congrats on another amazing regular season. Your reward is Nick Saban. But you know, Dabo's not going to complain about what happened yesterday. Just as you know, Ohio State fans are going to complain about what happened yesterday. And honestly, I get it. I get it. Not really. You see, the truth is, Ohio State was not eliminated from the college football playoff on the first Sunday in December. They were eliminated on the first Saturday in November when they lost to Iowa 55-24. In other words, Ohio State's got nobody to blame but themselves. Yes, Buckeye fans can argue they've got the better wins and the better resume, and they'd be right. Alabama played and pretty much beat nobody. Their last game was a double-digit loss to Auburn, and their best win was what? LSU. The same LSU who lost to Troy. If LSU loses to Troy, then beating LSU is not a good win. And that was Bama's best win. So good luck with that argument. And that signature win The so-called signature win over Florida State doesn't look that good right now either, does it? In fact, I would argue that the win over Fresno State is better than the win over Florida State. But with all due respect to the Bulldogs, if you're hoping that that's going to boost your strength of schedule, then you've got a problem. Especially since Fresno State just lost to Boise State. But while Alabama really didn't beat anybody, certainly not the likes of Wisconsin, Penn State, or Michigan State, they also didn't lose to Iowa by 31. Lose to an average Iowa team by more than four touchdowns, and you can't complain, period. That hospital job trumps anything good that you may have done. That horrific loss wipes out all the good wins. The committee said as much, and Urban Meyer didn't even bother arguing. Herb himself knows if you lose to an average Iowa team by 31, you best not try to argue that you're one of the four best teams in the country, because that's a joke. That's laughable, and Herb knows it, which is why Herb told ESPN, quote, "I was kind of hoping we had those good wins, three against the top 16 teams in America, but I get it. The bottom line is we had a tough road loss." Wrong again, Herb. A tough road loss is losing to your rival on a last-second field goal. Getting curb-stomped by an average Iowa team is something totally different, and you know it. Don't get that twisted. That was not a tough road loss. That was an embarrassment to you, your program, and the committee who could not see clear of it to put you in. And they're right not to. You're not coming back from a loss like that, at least not in the way of making the playoff. Right, so let me continue on this with this very quickly. In the past, the lesson had been that good wins are better than bad losses. But after yesterday, the lesson is don't lose to Iowa by 31. Hell, if they even keep it within three touchdowns, maybe they're in. But they couldn't, so they're not, and they don't have an argument because of it. Here's another lesson about the committee. Don't pay too much attention to what the College Football Playoff Selection Committee says from week to week. Because last week, committee chair Kirby Hocutt said, quote, "There's very little separation in the committee's eyes between teams 5 through 8, end quote. Well, if they were serious about that, and then number 8, Ohio State, beat number 4 to win a conference championship, while number 5, Alabama, was, to quote Charlie Weiss from back in the day, home eating cheeseburgers, then one would expect Ohio State would be in, but they're not. All right, and one more thing. Let's be real about this. Don't think I couldn't do 3 hours on this. Let's be real about this one thing, too. If this was anybody other than Alabama, we're not having this conversation. If that was TCU, who was 11-1 and coming off a loss and really hadn't beaten anybody of note, they're not getting the benefit of the doubt. A lot of this is about having those numbers on those helmets and Nick Saban on the sideline. And on top of that, wouldn't it be so like Nick Saban to barely get in and then go win the whole thing? So, to summarize, let me quickly run down the arguments against both. Alabama, they didn't win their division, much less their conference. They didn't beat anybody. And when they got their chance to make a statement, they got slapped by their rival, who turned around and got slapped by Georgia. And one of their so-called big wins was against Fresno State. And if you're arguing that you should be in the playoff because you beat Fresno State, then your argument's not very good, especially when Fresno State just lost. And how do you argue for a second team in the SEC over a team that just won its Power 5 conference? How do you argue that Alabama is, quote, unequivocally better than Ohio State when just last week the committee said there really wasn't much difference between the top teams? How do you argue that they're unequivocally better when the team you're arguing against just beat a previously unbeaten team to win their Power 5 and you're sitting at home eating cheeseburgers? Oh, and by the way, how rich is that that Chuck Weiss ever accused anybody else of sitting at home and slamming cheeseburgers? So no, I cannot argue for Alabama, but those are your arguments against them. Now, here's my arguments against Ohio State. They got hammered by Iowa by 31. Those are my arguments. You're not one of the four best teams in the country if you can't stay within four touchdowns of Iowa. So, in summary, while most of the country is losing their mind arguing for either Ohio State or Alabama, I'm just going to argue against both of them. I'm not picking one over the other because they both have flaws. They both have warts. And instead of saying that I could argue for either, I'm just going to say that I can argue against both. So I'm not picking. That was a tongue. I'm very happy with myself. I mean, come on now, really? Both of them are so flawed. But go ahead, you can lose your ish over it if you want. 1-800-636-8686. I will listen to your arguments for either one, and I'll just keep arguing against both. 1-800-636-8686. You've got that college football. That's the entire opening segment, really. Other things, though, that let me tease that I want to get to today. I do want to talk about the Giants firing their coach and their GM and not a second too soon. I mean, I don't want anybody to lose their job, or I don't want to take any food off anybody's table, any money out of somebody's pocket. They both had to go. The fans there hate them. They both had to go. Other football news. Marshawn Lynch is back. The Raiders, maybe, maybe not. Marshawn, definitely. What the hell got into Gronk? What was Gronk doing yesterday? I want to talk about that matchup. The Pats and the Bills. Vikings with a huge win over Atlanta. The Chiefs continuing their free fall. Chargers. AFC West is so awesome. How do you explain the Chargers? Let's go back. They were 0-4. Playing on a soccer pitch. Opposing fans were taking over that joint every single week. They were an absolute embarrassment. The NFL made one of its worst decisions ever to put two teams in LA. It couldn't have looked any worse. All of that taken together, and several weeks later, we're talking about that same team that started 0-4, not only maybe getting into the postseason, but maybe hosting a playoff game on that soccer pitch. It's beautiful. Love it. Lions fans, how about that debacle at the Dome? The Silver Dome. They're finally going to blow that thing up, and they can't even get that right. I want to hit on that. And it seems kind of weird and awkward that I would even mention baseball with all this football going on, but there's some pretty good baseball stories that I do want to touch on, too. This email reads, Pimp in the Box, we think the CFP committee got the four playoff teams right. Regards, the 2016 Ohio State Buckeyes. Signed, Brendan in the Natty. War, Ohio State still sucks.
Hey, listen, Ohio State sucks.
Yeah, I'm all about, thanks, Lindale. I'm all about keeping things positive, seeing that glass half full. So I'd like to make an argument for somebody, but I can't. I'd rather make an argument against both of them than make an argument for one of them. Of course, Ohio State's got a better resume. Of course, Ohio State's got the better wins. But that one horrible loss trumps all the good wins. That's very clear. If the committee was charged with finding the four best teams in America, you cannot tell me that a team that lost to a very average Iowa team, not lost, but lost by 31. The committee will forgive a loss, for sure. But not a loss to Iowa, not by 31. That's what's keeping them out. This email reads, Jimbo Slice, before you begin your takes, it's a little late for that, right? Before you begin your takes, how about emailing us your material so we can use it to craft our scripts? Signed, Josh in Detroit, and other callers who try really hard but just do not belong on this stage. Casey in New Hampshire, War Alvin's Tiger Woods swearing mix, bleeping hilarious.
And Tiger on the tee, the hole in the upper... back right quadrant.
Tiger once.
Fuck! I don't think he's pleased.
No, Tiger. Dumbass. Tiger. Tiger.
God.
Oh, well. Well. No more commentary necessary.
That made my commentary look pretty mild.
Real gentleman's game right there. The only thing lamer than going third person is going third person with a nickname over and over and over again and dropping in GD blasts. Tiger! Dumbass! Credit where credit's due. I think that the Hawk came up with that. Yeah, but I've never heard you ever turning over any of your audio to anybody. Is that true? Hawk! Oh, Hawk! Oh, Sparrow! Sparrow's running around the office. Sparrow! dumbass. That doesn't sound the way I wanted it to. Sparrow! Wait a minute. So is Sparrow getting one of those big old fancy boards that you have too, Albie? All right, we're coming right back. Phone lines are wide open. The second hour is going to be busy, so you should jump in now. Take advantage of it. Anything you want to talk about. We're going to hit the NFL hard when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Telling my crew, man, I hate AIM. It used to be like, I hate it, but I love it. Now I just hate it.
I hate it, but I love it.
AIM. 11 more days. Somebody should sneak in that hospital room right now and just pull the plug out of the wall. Just do it right now. This thing's not opening up on any of my browsers. Come on, AIM. You're better than that. Or at least I thought you were. So reaction to my open on how instead of saying I can make an argument for either one of these teams, I'm just going to argue against both. This email reads, Rome, this whole Alabama thing really upsets me. So basically, it was better to lose to Auburn because it earned them an effective bye week. Everybody else had to win another game. It makes no sense. Tom in Sacramento. You know what, Tom? I agree. I agree with all your arguments against these teams. That's my whole point. Rome. Hey, Buckeye fan, remember last year when you explained, formulated, justified, lied to yourselves that you deserved to be in the playoffs over Penn State? You got punched in the face and Buckeyed. Hey-o! Signed, lifelong, loyal, honest Buckeye fan. Jake in the 937. Right. I agree with that, too. I can make lots of arguments against both and very few arguments for either. All right, so if you want to come in here and talk about it, I'm here to talk about it. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. In fact, if you argue against either one, I'll probably tell you that you're right. Buckeye fan, there's no getting around it. You just cannot overcome that objection. The fact that you lost. You know this whole thing like Nick Saban was trying to argue? You know, it's not really when you lose. It doesn't matter when you lose. Yeah, I'll go with that argument. He got beat by Auburn. Never mind again that he beat nobody. They beat nobody who mattered. And I don't want to hear about LSU. Because Ohio State had three wins better than their best win. And how good is their best win if their best win is over a team that lost to Troy? It's not a good win. But he didn't lose to Iowa by 31. And that's going to trump everything. There's just no getting around it. Because you're not one of the four best teams in the country if you got beaten by Iowa. It's okay to lose. It might even be okay to lose to Iowa, but not by four touchdowns plus. You're not overcoming that objection. I do want to talk about Buffalo and New England as well. Let's try a telephone call, though, first. Lots of NFL, but I want to get a phone call in here because, as I mentioned, we've got open phones. First stop today is Detroit. Matthew in the D. Matthew, what's up? How are you?
Hi, Jim. I've been a longtime listener, probably like 20 or 30 years, never really tried to call in, but here goes. I'm a Missouri graduate. I hate the Big Ten. I live in Detroit, but I hate the Big Ten. And Ohio State, every time Saban's number of national championships is going to trump the Herbs. Second, they're a bunch of hypocrites because, as you mentioned last year on that email, they same way they got in. And third, it's going to be awesome when the SEC wins the national championship over another SEC team. Go SEC, down with the Big Ten. Hardball, you'll be out of work in a year. Thanks, out.
All right, see you. Yeah, if you have nothing vested in either one of these teams, it's kind of hard to pick somebody you want, right? Who are you going to root for? Bama? Nick Saban? Ohio State? Herb? Let's face it, outside of their respective communities, these are not the most popular guys. So what side are you going to pick? Which brings up the question, too, what about the system? We wanted a playoff. We got the playoff. You got four teams. And now you've got somebody on the outside looking in. So then logically, people will say, we need six. We need eight. Yeah, but if you have six, number seven is going to be pissed. If you have eight, number nine, number 10 are going to be pissed. Somebody's always going to be pissed. And the argument's good. The argument's good unless it's an SEC team that's getting in as a second team instead of the best team in the Big Ten. Then it's going to make people really unhappy. And if that second SEC team that gets in is one that's coached by Nick Saban and is Alabama, it's going to make people really unhappy. And then on top of that, as I mentioned in the open, wouldn't it be the most Saban thing ever to get in when folks thought he shouldn't be in, only to see him win it all? It would be very Saban-like, wouldn't it? Hey, Buckeye fan, if you're looking for sympathy, you're not going to get it from here or anywhere else, though, after the way you've gotten in and the way you've handled your business. And especially after getting beaten by an Iowa team that's just not that good. Usually they aren't, but this year they were especially average, 7-5, and they beat you down. They beat you like a drum. I mean, I'd love to hear a Buckeye fan try and spin that. What is your way to manage that objection? Yeah, well, we kept it within 8 touchdowns. It doesn't matter who you beat. It matters who you lost to and by how much, and even Herb knows it. When we return, more phone calls, and I want to try and figure out exactly what the hell Gronk was thinking in a blowout to snap the way that he did, and then his explanation for it. Tried to walk it back, tried to apologize, but the Bills weren't having it, and I don't blame him. One more thing, too. How about Adam Gase running it up on the Broncos and going with an onside kick late in that game, and the Broncos saying they'll never forget that either? Nor will I. That was pretty awesome. Of course, they didn't do it to me. All right, all of that's still ahead. And next hour, we're going to go back-to-back. 2 good interviews at the top. We've got Pete Thamel and Clay Matthews at the top of hour number 2. But first things first, here is a sports update for you on this Monday morning.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As you know, Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros and submit your question. Be listening later in the program when I might answer yours. And in the meantime, sign up and become an O-Rewards member today. Earn $5 back for every $150 you spend. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Ben McAdoo is out. GM Jerry Reese is out. And now there's speculation that the Giants might actually go back to Eli Manning. What the hell is the point of that? I thought the whole idea was they benched him, they snapped that streak because they wanted to evaluate who they had, Geno Smith and Davis Webb. And now there's speculation that they might go back to Eli Manning. Yeah, never mind that the plan never made sense to me to begin with because, number one, they knew exactly what they had in Geno. I'm not saying that I have a huge issue with them benching Eli Manning, although I would suggest that while he wasn't playing well, it wasn't his fault. Not playing behind that line and not losing his 4 top wide receivers. But if you want to bench him and say, the guy's not getting it done, he hasn't been as good, he's not what he used to be, he's 36, we need to see what we have. That's fine, kind of. Why do you need to see what you have in Geno Smith when you already know? And if the argument is, it's not that we want to evaluate Geno, although that's exactly what they said, we want to evaluate who we have. If the argument is, it's not that we want to evaluate Geno, it's that Davis Webb is not ready. If he's not ready, then why are you benching Eli to begin with? If he's not ready. So the thing couldn't be handled any worse. And then who's doing the evaluating? The two guys who we knew wouldn't be there next year, and now they're gone. So once again, a team that has always handled things the right way finds a way to butcher this even worse. Giants fans, I want your thoughts. I will say also, we on the NFL on CBS, there were some very strong opinions in our meeting about Eli Manning. And Boomer Esiason made it really clear, going, look, the guy's not playing very well. They didn't do this guy wrong. And even though it was really, really interesting, I want to say this about Phil Sims. Phil Sims got cut after winning 11 games, and he's all class. Like, he wouldn't even say it in the meeting, but we all knew it. So you can only imagine what he must have been thinking as a giant great himself. But the guys who played in that league, it's a really interesting room because you have all of us who didn't play in the league or anywhere near it, and then you've got guys who not only played in the league but played in that town and were stars in that town. So they've got really strong opinions, Boomer and Phil Sims. And then you have Bill Cowher, who coached in that league. And it was a fascinating conversation. If you saw the show, you saw it play out on the air, but it was really strong also in the room prior to it. I mean, the thing about being on the air is you have to work within such tight windows, and Drew Kalisky, our producer, does an amazing job of putting everybody in the right spot so they can get their part, say their part. But still, these are really tight windows to work in. But I wish you all could have seen the discussion we had prior to going on the air when everybody said what they had to say. So, Giants fans, the thing is, the window's not that tight here. You can come in here and tell me exactly what you think. What do you make of the way the organization has handled this? The coach is out. The GM is out. The quarterback might be back. Eli Manning also said yesterday, I'm playing next year. I don't know where I'm going to play. There's a lot of things out of my control, but I'm playing. That was in response to speculation that he might just not play. That he always wanted to be a Giant, start his career, and end his career with them. And if it means going someplace else like his brother, then he might not want to do that. He seemed to cut that down yesterday when he said, I want to play. The only other issue there is, what if they bring in a head coach who loves Manning and wants Manning to play and battles for Manning and pulls him aside and says, look, Eli, we can win with you and we can win right now. Right now, you don't need to leave. So maybe the guy does stay with New York. And then what do you do with Odell Beckham? That's another big issue. Something else that was discussed on the NFL and CBS yesterday, Beckham wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL. What do you do with him? Going to Twitter quickly, at Yuppie Hipster tweets, Romadu, it's time to bench Alvey and let Sparrow run the board. Signed, Ben McAdweeb. No, I mean, I'm as shocked as you are that Adam Hawk, that was his actual audio presentation. I mean, when I hear something that good, I just assume that's Alvey. And Alvey goes, dude, I didn't do it. Hawk did it. Let me ask you something there, fellas. Is there anything else that you've done, Adam, that I don't know about? Alvey, is there anything else that you're pawning off as yours that he did?
Dude, no.
Has Hawk been doing the week that was this whole time?
Dude, no.
Romy, can we get a freaking deca yeah for the firing of that slicked back hair, porn stash wearing, incompetent bum in New York? Thanks, Giants fans. No, Nick, you can't, because we have no bum smack on this show. You know that? Man, they hate this guy. They hate this guy. Can we get a freaking deca yeah for the firing of that slicked back hair, porn stash wearing, incompetent bum in New York? Pretty much why he had to go. Most of that's true, and they hate him. And they don't like the GM much more, except the GM did lead them to a couple of Super Bowls, so that's why he had some cover. Looking for a good telephone call. Let's go to Michigan. I'm going to get to my thoughts on the Patriots and the Bills and Gronk, but I got to play that hot hand. I feel good about the calls today. We go to Connor in Michigan. Hey, Connor, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Great, in fact. What's up?
I just wanted to say that Ohio State is a bunch of whining bitches. Do you remember what happened a couple of years ago? They didn't win a Big Ten championship, and they got in. And what, they got a win against Wisconsin, who has a cakewalk in the West, and their biggest win was Michigan? Give me a break. That's all I got to say.
All right, Connor, see ya. Thank you very much.
See ya.
You know, I don't disagree with that. Listen, I still would argue, if I had to argue for something for Ohio State, and I'm not, because I'm here to argue against both and not argue for either. But wouldn't it stand a reason that if you are the conference champion of a Power 5 conference and you just beat an undefeated team to win that conference championship, wouldn't it stand a reason that probably you should go instead of a second team from the SEC? If I were to argue that. But then the flip side of that is the win over Wisconsin was not that impressive. And again, the win over Michigan was not impressive at all for Ohio State. However, it's still better on some level than a win over LSU, right? No, it's not. I take that back. A win over Michigan is not as good as a win over LSU. And a win over LSU is not good at all because LSU lost to Troy. Which is why I'm not arguing for either one of them. Have you noticed? I'm not losing my mind arguing for either one because I can argue more easily against both. They both have flaws. They both have warts. They're both easy arguments against. 1-800-636-8686. But of course, somebody in Michigan is going to come for somebody in Columbus. You're a Buckeye fan, you're fighting an uphill battle here. Given how you've gotten in the past, It's going to be awfully hard for you to win this argument. And given what Iowa did to you, in my mind, it's impossible for you to win this argument. As far as Alabama, you know, obviously people are going to look at that and say, politics, branding. Oh, what do you know? The committee set it up so Clemson and Alabama can play each other once again. No way. Yeah, but who's not going to love that? It's a great matchup. It's a tremendous matchup. But I'm going to stick to what I said earlier. If it had been anybody else and it hadn't been those numbers on those helmets with that coach on that sideline, we're probably not having this conversation. If it had been TCU, who was 11-1, we're probably not having that conversation. But it's Bama and it's Saban. So we are. Patriots and Bills. Really quickly, let me put this out there. When the Patriots go to Buffalo, a couple of things are guaranteed. The Patriots are going to win. They did. 23-3. A sex toy will be thrown on the field. It was, again, allegedly, probably, pretty much certainly. And yet somehow, neither of those two things are the big talking point coming out of yesterday. Instead, it's all about this.
Brady in trouble, dancing around, waits, finds room, fires downfield, looking for Gronkowski. It is intercepted, picked off by Tre'Davious White on the far sideline. Flags go down at the end, too. White goes down at the 40-yard line. He may be banged up a little bit. Oh, Gronkowski with a cheap shot. That's terrible. White was clearly down and out of bounds, and Gronk just drilled him in the back. That should be an ejection.
That's an ejection. That should be an ejection.
That's Bill's radio right there. Listen, before I get into this, let me just say for the record, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts Gronk, because I really like Gronk, and I'm not sure that you can actually hurt Gronk, so this will hurt me more than it hurts him. But let me start by saying this about that. What the hell was that? Because it looked like Bills cornerback, Tre'Davious White, was coming down with an interception, and Gronk came off the top rope with a forearm to the back of the head while he was on the ground. But seriously, what the hell was that? I mean, aside from being terrible and dangerous and inexcusable and exactly the type of thing that Bills players are never going to forget. I understand there was some hand fighting between Gronk and White when the ball was in the air. I understand that Gronk may have been pissed that there was no flag thrown, but you cannot do what Gronk did. You simply can't do that. I'm not even sure how he stayed in the game after he did do that. It's one thing when there's a shot to the head in the course of a play. The league is trying to reduce those things. But that'll happen because the game is so fast and it's so hard for guys to adjust. We all understand that. But that's not this. This happened after the play was over, while his opponent was face down and defenseless, and Gronk just lowered the boom on the guy. And that's not Gronk being Gronk. That's dirty. That's out of character for a good dude like Gronk, who does play the right way. But it's dirty. Gronk's not dirty, but that was dirty. And then he tried to walk it back after the game.
I know. Don't really believe in type of shots like that. Not in the business of that. I mean, it was a lot of frustration, and I was just really frustrated at that moment. It just happened naturally through emotions and frustration.
Quote, I don't believe in shots like that. I'm not in the business of that. What's kind of tough to square, I don't believe in shots like that when you just delivered a shot like that. And you might, quote, not be in the business of that, but you just filed for an LLC and opened up a shop on Main Street specializing in forearms to the back of the head. So, yes, the business of that. But then Gronk tried to explain it a little bit more.
At the top of the run, I mean, I felt like it was a big hole at the top. And then the throw was definitely, I mean, I felt like it kind of pushed me a little bit. I mean, and made the play. And I just don't understand why there wasn't a flag.
I mean, you can even tell by the way he's trying to explain it that he knows he's in trouble. He knows he doesn't have a good argument there. And then he tried to reference an offensive pass interference from earlier in the game.
And there's a couple times in the game, and they're calling me for the craziest stuff ever. And it's like crazy. I mean, like, what am I supposed to do? And then they don't call that? I mean, it was just frustration. And that's what happened.
And then he went to that card. He played that card. The what am I supposed to do? They call it on me. They don't call it on him. It's just, man, it's crazy. What am I supposed to do? Brother, pretty much anything other than what you did do. Pretty much anything other than diving on a defensive player after the play is over. I mean, who are you? Vontaze Perfect? Also, let's check the tense on that last line. Quote, it was just frustration, and that's what happened. No, you going with a forearm blast to the dome of a guy who's on the ground isn't, quote, just what happened. It's what you did. It's not something that just happened. It's what you did. That didn't just happen. It happened because you did it. So you got to lose the passive voice here. Take ownership of what you did. Even your own coach, Bill Belichick, appeared to be on camera saying to Bills head coach Sean McDermott it was bull bleep.
No, I understand. It was I apologize.
That's Belichick to Sean McDermott. I mean, you can hear that pretty clearly. That's an apology from Belichick to McDermott about Gronk.
No, I understand. It was I
understand it was bull bleep. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah, it's Belichick owning it, Gronk, so you may as well too. It's not Belichick saying, hey, listen, there's a lot of frustration out there. It just happened. You know, my guy got called for offensive PI. Your guy didn't get called. There was a lot of frustration out there. He just said it point blank. And the Bills are not going to let this go. You know that. Micah Hyde, quote, that's a dirty play, man. That's not cool. It's amazing to me that you don't get ejected for something like that. It's crazy. He obviously saw him on the ground. It's like a wrestling move. I don't know. Elbow, shoulder. I don't know what it was. I saw in the replay it was just a dirty play, man. That's something the NFL talks about all the time about not wanting. If the refs didn't see it live, they had a good chance to see it on the replay. Just a dirty play. Just touch him. Put your foot on him. Tackle him. You don't need to drive your shoulder or elbow into him. That wasn't cool. Obviously, the game was already, it was a pretty big margin at the time. There was just no need for that in the game that we play. End of quote. I agree with Micah Hyde. No need at all. And there's a very good chance that Gronk is going to get suspended. And he should be. That was dirty. That was dangerous. That's the kind of thing the league always talks about and wants to eliminate. That was not a football play. It wasn't even during a football play. It was in between football plays. And it's one that the Bills are going to remember when they meet again, I'm sure, on Christmas Eve. Don't think they won't be looking to retaliate because they will. Bad enough that they always kick your ass. Even worse, that they do it again and cheap shot you while you're down. No way this is the last we've heard of this. No way. Next hour, we start off with Clay Matthews. Green Bay Packer Clay Matthews coming up next. On to the second hour, live in Southern California, I am Jim Rome. You're listening to CBS Sports Radio. Do not go anywhere.